the Retire While You Work podcast. We're going to be talking a little bit about what exactly does retire while you work mean. I think this is a question, or this is something that David started using, you know, probably 10 or 15 years ago, basically the majority of his career here. And it's, we talk about it all the time with clients, but sometimes we get questions around what exactly does it mean. So today we just wanted to talk through that. And, you know, we have some questions that we're going to run through, but also just let people know, how do you, in a real world, how do you apply the retire while you work philosophy to your life, whether you're a W-2 employee and maybe a 1099, or you own your own business, or just trying to spend more time with family. And so today we wanted to talk about this and exactly what it means.
Okay, great. So here's a few questions that we get from people that are clients, people that have read the book, people that, you know, kind of know that we're behind the retire while you work slogan. So the first question is, in what ways does this differ from the FIRE, F-I-R-E movement?
Yeah. And so for those not familiar with FIRE, that's financially independent, retire early. And so I think the biggest way that it differs is the FIRE movement is all about retiring early. So it's like, how can I maximize savings so that if I'm whatever the age is you pick, let's just say 50. So when I'm 50, I can stop working and I know there's a decent chance that I'm not going to run out of money, or in all likelihood, I'm not going to run out of money. I think the difference between the retire while you work philosophy is that it's more tied to just doing what you love. It's not necessarily like retiring early. It's spending more time with family, or maybe you have a hobby that takes up a few hours a week that you want to be able to do a little bit more. And so rather than retiring and just, you know, quitting work and maybe what you're passionate about, like there's a lot of people who identify with their work and maybe losing their identity. It's how can you maintain an identity that's important to you, but also at the same time, you know, if you like working, you can keep working, but have time to do the things that you love with those that you love. And that's really at the heart of it, what the philosophy is about. And what we talk about with clients and get to the bottom of in their plan is making sure that, you know, at the end of the day, if they're working when they're still in their 70s, it's because they truly love work, not because they feel like they have to be working.
And I'll add, you know, from Adam's Wealth Partners specifically, our passion is helping others do what they love, spending time with those that they love, or spending time with those that they love, spending time doing what they love with those they love through the retire while you work philosophy. And it looks different for everybody, like Miles said. Maybe it is retiring at 40 years old, 50 years old. Maybe it's retiring at 70 years old. And that word retirement also does not mean quitting and never working another day in your life. But yeah, a little bit different than FIRE movement, because I think there's also a big emphasis on it's not necessarily post-retirement. Retire while you work is, in essence, while you are still working, while there is still some sort of income coming in, job that you're doing, it's pursuing things in life that you love doing. And it might be through work, or it might be while you're still working. It's not just about reaching an endpoint being retirement.
Yeah. And I think sometimes with the FIRE movement, people just get so caught up in like, I want to be retired at 50 and it's all or nothing. And so they, during those working years, they're not really enjoying themselves, because every spare dollar that they have, they feel like they need to be saving and investing that so that they can meet that goal. But I think the retire while you work is just, in our opinion, I think you guys would agree, a happier way to get there, because you're able to enjoy life along the way and feel like you can still do things, take the trip, go out to dinner, go out to the concert, and not feel like you can't go eat a nice birthday dinner because that couple hundred bucks you need to make sure that you're investing. And so it's just a little bit more flexible way to get, I feel like, to the same place.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. What questions are we asking our clients to uncover those lifestyle goals?
I think one of the most important questions we can ask is not, you know, revolved around risk or what types of investments do you like, so on and so forth. It's what's your why? So in other words, when it comes to your work, your family, spiritual life, whatever it is, why are you living the life that you want to live? What gets you up out of bed in the morning? What, you know, carries you to work every single day? What is your ultimate life goal? And then that starts to determine the other decisions. If, you know, your why is creating, you know, making memories as many memories as you can going on trips with your family. Well, then our whole philosophy and recommendations around how we're gonna save, invest your portfolio, so on and so forth, is based around that. So it all starts with what somebody's why is.
Yeah, and I think really just trying to dig deep into to follow Carson, like what's important to them. I mean, we have all, for the most part, every prospect that we meet with in their first meeting, there's a questionnaire that we have had them fill out, and sometimes they'll put on there like, you know, that they want to retire at 50, and then they come in for a meeting, and we ask why they want to retire at 50, and they're just like, I hate my job, or I just want to spend more time with my family. And I think the other thing that we get a lot is somebody is going to say, well, I can't retire yet, I don't have $1 million. And we're just like, well, where did that number come from? And so having conversations around maybe some preconceived notions that they have about the age they can retire or the amount they need to have. I mean, at the end of the day, all those are subjective. And there's people that are retired with, you know, a couple $100,000, and they get Social Security and maybe a pension, which is not many people have those anymore, but there are still out there for a few people. And there's people who, you know, have $20 million and feel like they can't retire because their expenses are so high. And so it's just really digging down to the core of what people want and why they want it, and asking, you know, just continuing to go deeper through questioning to get to that level with people.
Okay. Kind of ties into our next question too, is what are some of the actual real world examples of things people are doing to live that retired lifestyle?
I can think of a few, but sometimes it's from a few examples, it's one, somebody that's a grandparent, they're retired, let's just say they're 70 years old and they've got a big family, and they have a good net worth, they've got a good amount of investable assets built up, but they decide to pull out, I think the number was something between $60,000 and $75,000 to take their entire family on a giant vacation. And that's something that ordinarily it's the hoarding mindset of, I've got this nest egg that I've built up to save for the rest of my life. But the reality is, it was much more in this specific client's situation that she needed to sustain her life, the rest of her life. So for her, it was more about, having this incredible trip, once in a lifetime trip with all members of her family, kids, grandkids, everybody. It had a huge price tag on it, call it $75,000 to spend on a trip. But at the end of the day, the real world of that is now every single person involved on that trip has incredible memories that they're going to take to their grave of how, grandma spent this much money to bring the family together. And that's ultimately was their why behind realizing how much more valuable that was than just, pass it on to the next generation an extra $75,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. That memory of that trip is gonna last way longer into the future than, I don't know, $10,000 that a grandkid would have got when their grandparent passed away.
And I feel like we hear that over and over as the more we talk to our clients, a big thing that comes up is they want those experiences. They want to spend their money on experiences with their families. And so really, it could be anything like that to live the retired lifestyle. Okay, next, are there specific professions you see that can take advantage of this concept more than others?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, obviously, if you're a business owner, 1099, your schedule is much more flexible. It probably makes it a little bit easier. I mean, if you're, example, be a real estate agent with a team around you who can continue to show houses and put contracts together. Or really any other sort of small business owner where you don't actually have to be there all the time. Maybe you can hop on a Zoom with your team or be available for some phone calls if they need you, if you're going to take a month off and go on a long vacation. I think without a doubt, 1099 jobs are make or business owners make that 100%, not 100%, but you know, twice as easy as than if you're a W-2 employee. But if you are a W-2 employee, I think, you know, maybe it's just deciding what's important to you. Is it important to you to continue to be on the same income? Or is there a way that you can start doing some consulting work, maybe cut your income by 25%, but you're now able to have, you know, another 10, 15, 20 hours a week, or maybe you can work 3 days a week with your job to get there. I think, especially in today's world where, I mean, I think jobs are going maybe not as remote as they were the last couple of years, but I think that you can be a little bit more flexible with your hours. Maybe you can take a trip as long as your employer knows you can still be plugged in and you can work from, pretty much anywhere. I think there's much more flexibility from the W-2 job landscape than there has been historically.
Definitely.
And I think it's all in priorities, because I think we all have a million things going on with our life, and it's all an adjustment of priority. So if your version of retire while you work is, going on a hike on Sundays, but too often, a lot of times most people don't work on Sundays, traditional corporate jobs. It's just prioritizing that time to set aside to go on a hike with your kids. So the retire while you work philosophy can be applied to any industry. Yes, Miles, as you mentioned, with those that are self-employed, they might have flexibility throughout the week to take off a week or two, or take off 3 or 4 days at a time. But even for those with traditional jobs, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, there's still different priorities you can set in place to say, okay, if I look down to my core, my true why is spending time with my family, making things happen. Then the priority is just becoming, how do I want to spend my weekends? And what kind of trips do I want to do? Maybe it's long weekend trips, and you just work your schedule out to prioritize. Okay, I'm still going to save and be a good steward of my money for the long term, but at the same time, I'm going to make sure I'm going to cut back spending in somewhere else in my life so that we can go on 3 or 4 weekend trips throughout the year and have these trips that we're doing as a family. So, retire while you work looks different for every single person. One way is not better than the other. You don't have to spend a crap ton of money in order to retire while you work. It's all relative based on specific situations.
Yeah, I think that's I've even seen people as go as far online to show like how to maximize vacation days using holidays. So like when you have, I mean, examples like, if you're following banking holidays, there's obviously a few more. So it's like, we just had President's Day. So it's like maybe you take the Friday off before President's Day so that you get that Friday, you get that Saturday, Sunday, and then you also get that Monday off, and then you're back in the office on Tuesday. So I think, some people have gotten creative from that standpoint. You're able to, I forget what the numbers are, but it's like if you utilize days you already have off because of a holiday combined with maybe a vacation day or two, assuming you have 2 or 3 weeks vacation, it's like a number much larger than you would imagine of like those weekend trips that you could take, like Carson mentioned.
And I think that y'all kind of just answered this next one a little bit, but we'll see if you can elaborate some. For someone working a more traditional full-time salary position where the hours might not be so flexible, what are some methods they can use to implement some of these plans?
Yeah,
I think we touched on that one. I think it just comes back to getting creative with days off
Yeah, with
and
what you
again,
have to work
just
with.
prioritizing things. I think younger people, a lot of times, in your 20s and 30s, you have a bunch of your friends' weddings to go to. So it's like maybe you take an extra day and turn that into a longer trip, and things like that. It's just about getting creative and I think deciding what's truly is important to you.
How do you balance this mindset of trying to enjoy things now without sacrificing on the ability to accumulate enough to live off of forever after you might not have the ability or desire to work anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything in life's about trade-offs, whether it's, deciding not to go out with friends the next on a Friday night because you have something to do on Saturday morning and you don't want to feel like crap, or not going to the concert because you need to save that money for something else. It's about trade-offs. It's like deciding, okay, do I want to retire early? And if so, you obviously need to invest more. If you're somebody who, and we have some clients who say they're going to die at their desk, that's obviously not the best way to go about things either. But if you're somebody who enjoys your job, I was having this conversation with the guy who does mortgages last week, and it's like, he enjoys his job. He's like, I feel like I can always write mortgages. Why would I not do this into my 70s if I'm healthy and can do it? Obviously, there's the trade-off when health starts to affect you, and maybe you can't do your job as well as you can. And I think that's where the proper planning comes into place. Maybe you have long-term care insurance in case you need to supplement some medical costs or some care that you may need. But there's obviously planning that goes into place. This isn't like willy-nilly to where you're just like, I'm not going to save, I'm going to work forever. I'm going to save too much because I want to retire early. It's just about finding balance. At the end of the day, it's what's important to you, and how can we help you get to that.
Yeah, I would say add balance. It's, planning for the future and knowing, okay, based on my current path and spend and save rate, this is what true retirement can look like for the future so that you're a good steward of your money now. And then if you've got that taken care of, then use any excess money you have to retire while you work, to not just save it for the sake of saving it, because you may already have the retirement goal that you want already built out. So then if you have extra income bonuses that hit or a really good year, spend it, spend it making memories, going on trips, and not saving it, even though tr the traditional way of thought might be to save it just because that's what you should be doing, when the reality is you've already planned. With our clients, we walk through our great planning software, and we can put, add in as many variables as we might possibly could think of. And if that's taken care of, if there's right now, you've got that planned for and taken care of, your savings rate is on track for that, whatever extra income you have, spend it and make those memories.
That kind of rolls into our last question. What methods are, I mean, speaking of our goal planning and monitoring software, what methods are you using to build all of this into their financial plans?
Yeah, I think it's important to have some sort of tool there. And Jerrianne, like you said, ours is the GPM goal planning and monitoring software. So that tool just allows us to start with somebody, to really sit down with somebody, and as really whenever, but let's just say they're in their 40s and their goal is to be retired by 60. A software like that allows us to say, okay, if retiring by 60 is what's important to you, here is, how much you need to try and save a month, a year, to be able to get there so that you have enough to live on. Or let's look at the trade-offs. Let's say, you're willing to consult a couple days a week, and have some income coming in. And because of that, maybe you don't need to save as much in retirement because you're going to do that from age 60 to 65. And so it's, I think having a tool that allows you to, and again, they're all projections, they're not going to be 100% accurate, but at least having a tool that you can benchmark against over a number of years as you lead up to that. And you might get to 60 and realize that you really enjoy consulting and you're going to keep doing that a few days a week. But at the end of the day, having a plan to, or a software to track that against, allowed you to have that data to be able to make those decisions and you weren't just guessing.
Yep, I would agree. Having a great in-depth planning software makes a world of difference.
Yep, couldn't agree more.
Well, that's it on the questions.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us again. We're just going to continue to have these thoughtful discussions to get out some good information and planning ideas to our friends and clients. And so we hope you guys are enjoying this and we'll continue to tune in.
Thanks, everybody.
Any opinions are those of myself and not necessarily those of Raymond James. Expressions of opinion are as of this date and are subject to change without notice. The information contained in these podcasts do not purport to be a complete description of the securities market or developments referred to in this material. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but we do not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Every investor situation is unique and you should consider your investment goals, risk tolerance, and time horizon before making any investment. Prior to making an investment decision, please consult with your financial advisor about your individual situation. Any hypothetical examples are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary. Raymond James does not provide legal or tax services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.